A longtime Rochester resident and Holocaust survivor and his sister are among the few twins to have survived the concentration camps. Now, with an increase in anti-Semitism throughout the world, Stephen Hess is speaking about his experiences later this week at Finger Lakes Community College. First, he's sharing his story with us here on Morning Edition. Welcome, and thank you so much for taking the time.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. A small possible correction. My twin sister and I, she lives in Washington. We're probably the last living twins of the concentration camps, mostly because we were young at the time, and the others, either most of them were murdered, and the few who survived are gone.
Yeah.
But go ahead, please.
Well, how old were you and your twin, Marion, when you and your family were taken by the Nazis?
We were born in Holland, and we were taken in 1943. We were 5 years old when we were first taken, and we were 7 years old when we were finally liberated by the Russians.
Eventually, I understand you were placed on a train called Theresienstadt, and I'm probably mispronouncing that terribly.
You were. That was the final chapter. It was called The Lost Transport. It was one of three trains that the Nazis used for some unexplained reasons, like most other things, to remove the remaining Jews from Bergen-Belsen, where Anne Frank and her sister Margot were killed. On three trains, one of them made its destination. The other one was rescued by the Americans the day after, and our train meandered for 13 days and 14 nights, 2,000 mostly Jews, 675 dead by the time the train was ran into the Russian army at a small East German town called Tirbitz.
So you're a young boy, ages 5 to 7, during that horrible trauma. What do you remember still from that time?
Well, I remember the physical quite well, and it's interesting because decades ago, my sister and I, who had never discussed it, which is very typical for Holocaust survivors and their families, were interviewed at Yale separately, and about 90% of our remembrances were the same. So that gives me some confidence. But the point really is, at those ages, we were, you know, it was a matter of hunger and filth and discomfort, but we didn't have the psychological maturity to realize that we were condemned. So that, I guess, was a bizarre blessing. But we both very well remember the physical.
You said, as is common among survivors, you and your sister, you know, hadn't really talked about this. Is it unusual for you to speak about it publicly? Have you done that over the years?
No, I actually had my awakening, so to speak, when President Reagan went to Bitburg, which was very controversial in the 1980s. And frankly, I became a bit of a Holocaust scholar because I was asked by so many people if I would talk about it, and I knew what I knew, but I didn't have the historical context, so I have studied this for 40 years intensely. I have a huge library, and I've spoken, I don't know, 50, 60 times. I do it less as I get older.
Well, now you're making the speech this week. In this context of anti-Semitism on the rise around the world, I want to ask you, how safe do you feel today?
I feel perfectly safe. I must say I've never encountered anti-Semitism in any form in this country, but obviously I'm aware of the rise. It's a different type of anti-Semitism, but it feeds on 2,000 years of what is properly called Christian anti-Semitism, but it has changed to anti-Semitism is no longer a polite word in the shadow of the Holocaust, so now it's anti-Zionism. And of course, it's now become a left-wing movement, where it traditionally was a right-wing movement, and it's based much more on the conflict in the Middle East than it is on any religious concept. So it has changed, and yet it is unchanging.
Well, you say you personally haven't experienced anti-Semitism, but you've lived and thrived in Rochester after moving here over 40 years ago. You started a successful business here. Does this community do enough to try to keep prejudice and anti-Semitism at bay?
Well, the truth is, I don't know. I know the Federation works very hard, and certainly Rochester is not in any way a hotbed of anti-Semitism. So I think they do the best you can, but you end up preaching to the choir. People who know better are not anti-Semitic, and those who are anti-Semitic are not going to be convinced. There have been several incidents here locally, but the Federation is much more in tune to it than I am. I know I keep in touch with the Federation in the Albany area, and they have a constant problem with anti-Semitic acts. So it's there, but it's always been there, and I'm a cynic. I think it'll always be there. As long as these people have no power, which is really where the difference comes in, they're a bunch of ugly kooks, but they can't do much, once they get into power, like the Nazis did. The equation changes dramatically and lethally.
Stephen, did your entire family survive the Holocaust?
We did, and my immediate family did. I lost my grandparents. I never knew them. One died of a heart attack in the streets. They refused to leave Germany because the German Jews were incredibly patriotic. So my extended family, like all Jews within the Nazi grasp, were mostly murdered, two out of three. But my immediate family is one of the very, very few to survive.
Stephen, is there a central message that you like to leave audiences with when you talk?
I've been asked that before, and I sort of back off because I'm not important enough. I tell history and I tell the experience. But all I can really say is to recognize prejudice early enough before it's too late. I mean, what I do is I compare it to the Twin Towers and 9/11, because had I told that story in class, not on 9/11, but on 9/10, everybody would have wondered what I'm smoking, because it must be good, because nobody would have imagined it. And the next morning at 8:30, it became reality, and our lives have changed forever. So I make that comparison to try and look what the results are of actions and consequences.
That's Holocaust survivor Stephen Hess. He is speaking at noon this Thursday, April 18th, in the Student Center Auditorium on the main campus of Finger Lakes Community College in Canandaigua. Stephen, thank you so much for being here on Morning Edition.
Oh, thank you for calling me. Bye-bye.